A legal education means you will learn to speak in a new language. You will be taught to achieve insight into the world around you and to sharply question what you know.
You can't handle the truth!
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete!
Lose! I don't lose! I win! I win! I'm a lawyer! That's my job! That's what I do!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Comedians at Law podcast, episode 71. I am your host, Matt Ritter, and with me this week is Kevin Israel.
What's going on, Matt? How are we doing?
I'm good, you know, just got back from a great show in Phoenix. Boy, that was a tremendous, tremendous crowd.
Yeah, it sounded like you guys killed it. It's great.
Yeah, we really killed it. I guess they love us in Arizona.
Sounds like, what, you know, you brought in a huge, how many people came out to the show?
About 200 people.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a mix from the three law schools, ASU and Summit, and there's another one there. It's escaping me right now, but somebody will probably yell at me on the podcast later.
And Comedians at Law gave him another good show.
We gave him another good show. We had a couple local greats. This guy, Bob Howard, who I'm interviewing later on in the podcast, really funny guy. Nancy Stanley was the dean of the law school, assistant dean of the law school, telling some good jokes. The students were really digging it.
Wow, that's awesome that you were able to get the dean of the law school up there.
Yeah, assistant dean, right? I guess if I called her the dean would get
right.
It would get upset. And but you know what's cool is I didn't know this about Arizona. They have a big a festival weekend based around a golf tournament. Have you ever heard of this? The Open?
No.
So they take a golf tournament. They basically turn it into like Happy Gilmore. And they get all rowdy, not on the golf course, but they have all these concerts and everything. Sort of just basically every hot girl in Arizona just gets an excuse to get drunk and rowdy. It's great.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
And that was going on while you were there?
Yeah, that was going on while we were there, actually. So I was pleasantly surprised that we got such a good turnout in light of the fact that they had other options.
Yeah. Well, I think that speaks to the power of Comedians at Law.
No, this is what speaks to the power of it. This you would appreciate. Snooki was also in town. I think as part of this Open event, somebody paid her to go to a bar and hang out, you know, like appearance fees. And she was at the bar right across the street from the club.
And we drew over Snooki.
Yeah, you know, because you figure if you want to see Snooki, you could see her vomiting in the alley afterwards anyway.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be getting anything new from Snooki.
Yeah, I think we're over that. So, yeah, it was a great show. And, you know, it was, we came, we saw, we kicked some butt.
That's the way we do it.
What do we have up on the roster next?
You know what? I'm not sure where. You know, we're trying to book some more gigs.
I believe we're doing a show at Thomas Cooley next month, which is nice for one of their barrister's ball type events.
Yes. Yeah.
I like when we do those barrister ball events. Those are fun. So book us for more of those, people.
Yeah, yeah. If you're listening to us and you're at a law school and you've got, you know, your barrister ball or some event coming up and you want some really good entertainment, hire the Comedians at Law.
I'd be interested in a law firm retreat these days. I need to I want to go and perform at one of those spa retreats and then have them let us use the spa. You know?
Yeah, I that would be great.
Yeah. Anyway, we got some good stories this week. It's a very big weekend, Super Bowl weekend. Should we jump into the stories?
Since when has the paragon of investigative journalism allowed lawyers to determine the news content?
This is very topical and kind of amazing. I love entrepreneurs, you know? I really do, Kevin.
I mean, who doesn't?
Sometimes entrepreneurs are seedy, you know, shady people. They end up, you know, in a shady realm. When an entrepreneur looks at opportunities, he looks at the Super Bowl and he says, "How can I make money?" So apparently there was an entrepreneur who ran a prostitution and drug ring marketing its services to visitors. They were calling it the Party Pack.
I mean, what goes better with a Super Bowl party than prostitutes and drugs?
If you ask many NFL players that are actually in the Super Bowl, they would say none.
I just think this is pure football.
Do you remember that? There was a guy on the Falcons, I think, who got caught a couple years back with
Yeah,
you know, he had the party pack. He probably had the deluxe package.
Yeah, he was probably rolling with the platinum. I'm not sure exactly what this specific criminal ring was offering, but it probably wasn't what a professional football player is getting. But it sounded like a good time.
Well, you know what I love about it, though? They were offering it via public access TV, the internet, and text messages.
You know what? Like you said, as an entrepreneur, you've got to be willing to advertise.
But I'm wondering, you know, do they just text random numbers, or is that like in their group of friends? You know what I mean? Because when I set up texts, I got to go through my phone and decide who am I going to text. So, you know, do they start out being like, okay, yeah, Jim, he looks like a hooker and coke guy. He'll like the party pack.
Yeah, would you be upset if you did or if you didn't get that text message?
Well, I would be very upset if a bunch of my friends got it and I didn't.
Yeah, you don't want to be left out of the good time.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't hear about the party pack? Oh, sorry, man. I guess you weren't invited.
Yeah. This sounded like it was a pretty big operation, though.
There were 18 managers of the ring. They called them managers. They had a hierarchy.
Listen, it's 2014. This is a business.
You know, I think their parents would be disappointed if they were assistant manager.
Right.
Why can't my son's not even a manager of a drug ring.
You think this drug ring is paying its interns?
You know what? That's something we need to get into, you know? But I guess you can't really sue because they're already illegal anyway.
Right. Exactly. You really can't sue your drug kingpin boss for not paying you as an intern.
Let me ask you a serious question. There's 55 players on each team, right?
Yeah.
And there's probably, what, like 30 members of the coaching staff?
At least, sure.
And probably another, I don't know, 50 to 100 employees, entourage. So there's probably 300 people maybe from each team at the Super Bowl, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you think there are any, do you think A, zero, B, one or two, or C, well, more than that, who are using drugs and prostitutes while they're in New York for Super Bowl?
I think that it would be probably a shockingly high number.
Yeah, you think so? Out of that, what do you think? Like equipment managers?
Yeah. You know what? I think the really the scary thing is that it's probably, you know, it probably goes a little higher than that.
Yeah, you think it's like 100, like probably half of everybody who's involved there.
Especially immediately after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You know what sucks is they arrested 50 people. I'm wondering if they arrested the people who got the party packs or the ones who were sending them, you know?
It's from the article, it sounded like they were probably cracking down on both ends.
Yeah, I didn't like what Robert McCree, a professor of security management of John Jay College, said about this. His quote was, "The nature of the visitors, particularly for something like the Super Bowl, are high rollers. People living for the moment, and they seek gratification in all conceivable ways. People get careless and not judge accurately what their proper behavior should be." Actually, buddy, this is the proper behavior for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would be kind of disappointed if I didn't hear a story about drugs and hookers.
Yeah. You know what's annoying, I guess? I guess I sort of hate the fact that you know that there's somebody, like when you're going to the Super Bowl and you're with a bunch of your friends, like, you know somebody's going to get arrested, which is unfortunate. Because, like, that's the whole deal. The whole deal is this is a weekend of excess.
Right, exactly. And you know what? And the big problem is, and I don't know if this is with all Super Bowls, but I know specifically because this one's in Jersey. I've been keeping tabs on it.
Yeah.
There's no tailgating.
I know. So that kind of stinks.
So you've got to get your fun in somehow.
I assume there's probably thousands and thousands of escorts from Vegas who flew in.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, actually, it's funny. I'm at a club this weekend that's a mile from Giant Stadium.
Oh, so you might have some people in the crowd who are heading to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was there last night, and there were people who were going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and
where were they coming in from?
What's that?
Where were they coming in from? I'm always curious.
There was a crowd that was actually from California.
Yeah.
But they were all hammered. They were clearly pre-gaming very early.
I mean, what else are you going to do on a Friday or Saturday night you're visiting? You're going to get the party pack.
Right. And you know what? I'm glad we're talking about this because I'm going to ask this tonight when I go up on stage who's getting the party pack and see who knows what I'm talking about.
Let's see if there's like that knowing chuckle of recognition. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, some guy's going to laugh and his wife's going
to
kick him.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. all right, let's move on to the next story because we got a couple of other things to tackle.
All right.
You want to set up the second one?
Yeah, this next one. Actually, you know what? This next one kind of ties right into this topic. And it goes with not only with the idea of an entrepreneur, but alcohol. Apparently, in Minnesota, there were some companies that were trying to deliver beer to ice fishermen via drones, which sounds to me just like an absolutely brilliant use of drones. Because we constantly hear about all the bad things drones do, spying and attacking villages in the Middle East. But this is a great use of drones. They're gonna deliver beer to these guys who are freezing in these little shelters while they're ice fishing, which I don't know why anybody would want to do that in the first place. But if you are, you probably want some beer. Unfortunately, the FAA came out and put the kibosh on this, saying that you can't, because apparently, you, as the law stands right now, you can't use drones for commercial purposes.
Yeah, I think it's funny because, you know, if anybody, like, if ever there was a time to just be like, well, while we're sorting out the law, let's let this one slide. It's those poor lonely guys who are in sub-zero temperatures sitting in the middle of Minnesota like ice lakes.
Right. And these drones clearly are not going to be colliding with anything.
No. I mean, there's nobody for hundreds of miles around.
And I really love it. This is really – the idea of getting stuff delivered to you by drone just really seems like, you know, like the Jetsons. Like,
oh,
we're
totally
really moving into the future.
And I think you and I talked about this, or maybe me and Alex, about Amazon is trying to get
Amazon,
into this
yep.
game big time.
Yeah, this is – I think this is awesome. And I think the – you know, hopefully – and not only hopefully, but I'd imagine that the FAA is really going to have to move on this quickly because this is clearly an up-and-coming technology that's gonna be lucrative to a lot of different businesses.
Oh, yeah. They better make these laws in the next year because people are going to go forward regardless.
Yeah. Right now, the FAA is saying that comprehensive laws might not be in place till 2017. I don't think that's nearly fast enough.
Yeah. By then, they'll just be a complete arsenal of drones. Everybody's going to have drones in the sky at their own personal drone delivery service.
Right. I just think – I mean – but just imagine, like, if you had your own drone and you wanted something, you could just send it out somewhere. The place could put whatever it is you're ordering on your drone and you bring it back. You never even have to leave your house.
You know what I just thought of to flout the law? Tell me what you think about this. So right now, under the law, only amateurs are allowed to fly drones under 55 pounds and they can only do it not for profit.
Right.
Now, if you look at a lot of these sites like, Couchsurfing or Airbnb or whatever, or even Lyft, right? They do it by, quote, donation.
Yeah, I see where you're going.
Right? That's not for profit. If you don't charge for your drone delivery and you just say, hey, you should
tip. Yeah. You know what? I mean, there might be some creative amateur drone flyers out there who just say, listen, I'm going to start a delivery service and I'm going to run purely on tips.
Yeah, because Domino's and Amazon obviously are pure profit enterprises. But yeah, the great thing about this is anybody can buy a drone and anybody can figure out how to use it and deliver it.
It's really going to be fun to see what people get delivered to their house by drone.
Yeah, I think also you're now it's going to be funny because like you're not going to have that awkward moment where the drone shows up and you're like, oh, I don't have any money to tip you. Sorry, sorry, oops.
Yeah, just hope the guy didn't buy a military drone and that it's not armed with machine guns.
Yeah. Oh, did you see this? This is a funny flip side of that. Some residents in Colorado who hate the drones, the libertarians, I mean, I don't like the idea of drones flying over my house. They're trying to pass a law that makes it legal to shoot down drones with a proper drone hunting license.
It's complete anarchy.
I mean, this is exactly what you're talking about. I mean, we are in the future. Now there's hunters shooting down drones as if they were geese.
You know what though? I guess if you can shoot a goose or a deer, why can't you shoot a drone?
I mean, I'm almost in favor of this because I don't really like the killing of animals.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. This is nobody really gets hurt here except the owner of the drone.
Yeah, because it's gonna be it's also a costly enterprise if you want to do that for sport.
But you know what? I think in that law it should be included that the drone owner can equip his drone with weapon to fire back.
Yeah, we're really getting into Terminator stuff here very quickly.
Well, I think, look, the takeaway from this is that there were some really, you know, creative guys out in Minnesota looking to help some fishermen out with these, you know, these drones that everybody's trying to figure out what to do with. Yeah.
I still don't get is, so they actually land on the ground right in front of you, right?
Yeah, I guess.
That seems kind of shady. I mean, it seems like, I don't know, that part is weird. I was picturing them like kind of dropping up for the sky, but then I realized that's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't know if the thing just fully lands on the ground. It might just be able to
hover,
you know, plop whatever you're ordering down on the ground and fly away. I've never actually even seen or used one of these drones.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, this is just totally crazy. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do think that the ice fishermen should be allowed to get the beer, because if not for this drone service, you literally have to drive like a day's drive if you run out of beer too early.
Oh, yeah, at least. This is definitely the least harmful use of the drones I've heard of.
The most harmful use is Domino's, because it's terrible for you. Because it causes massive diarrhea.
That's a great question. Are we going to have, or, you know, are there going to be Pizza Hut drones flying around and Domino's drones?
Domino's already said that they're developing it, so yeah.
That's awesome. I'm excited to be living in this day and age.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I wonder if you could pick up your, like, I don't know how heavy they can carry stuff, but I wonder if you can, like, just pick up girls, literally pick them up and have them come over your place.
Well, you know what? If you could pick up an entire female, that drug and prostitution ring might have been offering that service.
Oh, the party pack literally just dropped into your hotel room.
Yeah, party pack, door to door.
Through the patio, through the patio window.
Hey, listen, I live on the 10th floor of a high rise. I would love to have a drone just fly by and drop off a girl on my balcony.
The party pack, the whole thing.
I don't know that I need all of the party pack, but definitely the girl. Nice.
Yeah, all right. So they probably have like the smaller version, the individual pan pizza delivery.
The a la carte
party
pack.
Yeah. All right, should we move on to our last story of the day?
Yes, yes. And we're gonna keep talking about drugs a little bit.
Well, this little guy, I mean, he's really falling apart. So Justin Bieber's in some more trouble. He's got a private jet, I guess, that he owns, maybe. Oh, lucky bastard.
Yeah, this kid's rich. He's apparently worth $140 million.
We sometimes forget he's not American.
I'm glad to remind everybody of that as often as possible.
Yeah, he's Canadian, and they granted him reentry into the U.S. after they searched his plane because they had an odor of marijuana.
Which, you know what, listen, I really don't like Justin Bieber for a variety of reasons, and I am kind of relishing watching his, you know, slow deterioration.
Yeah.
But this one's ridiculous. He's kind of a rock star.
Yeah.
He's in his own private jet. The bigger problem would be if there wasn't the smell of pot coming from the plane.
Yeah, but first of all, I don't even believe that there was a smell of pot coming from the plane. That seems a little suspect. This isn't like the movie Soul Plane. You know how much pot you would have to have it like emanating from the plane.
Yeah, I you know what? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the whole setup was. If they landed the plane and they just always have drug sniffing dogs right when, you know, private planes land. I don't know how that works.
I mean, yeah, they're definitely picking on him. Now, you know what else? Actually, I was just doing a show. This other comic told me he read the report. I hadn't read the report. Did you know he actually closed off the road for his drag racing? He had his security close off the road.
I did hear that they had a couple of big SUVs following him, blocking off traffic. Yeah, I heard that.
So at least he was attempting to keep it safe. He was attempting to only make his life the one in danger.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes him even less hardcore.
It's very not hardcore to mind the pedestrians when you're drag racing.
Right, exactly. He's safely drag racing. And I think they were only doing like 45 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much playing Russian roulette with a BB gun that's not loaded.
Right. This whole situation was neither fast nor furious.
No, it was, you know, I think he's caught in between right now, you know, because I think at his core, he's not like a hardcore guy.
But he really wants to be that.
Yeah. But everybody knows he's not, so you're kind of stuck. You know what I mean? Because everybody, you'd have to go so much harder to prove us wrong.
Yeah, I don't know, and I think that's my biggest problem with him is that he's this, you know, young teeny bopper type singer who's trying to promote that he's living some kind of thug life.
Yeah.
And he's just, he couldn't be, that couldn't be any further from who he is.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I don't know, maybe the resurrection for him will be when he comes clean about the fact that he's just a soft little guy.
Yeah. And I would respect him a lot more if he was just like, listen, like a Bruno Mars type of guy.
Yeah.
Just be who you are.
Totally. He's totally Bruno Mars at his core.
Right.
Like, well, like he's sort of like, what if Bruno Mars just decided to join a gang?
You know what though? I think Bruno Mars could probably even have a little more street cred than Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I know, but Bruno Mars is real soft. I mean, it would be pretty funny if Bruno Mars just like, you know, joined the Crips and like just was doing drive by. Like if his next song was just like, you know, like Public Enemy and Bruno Mars.
After the at the end of his performance at the halftime show, he throws up some gang signs.
Yeah, that's sort of what Justin Bieber is to me. He's making a mockery of his whole.
But the other interesting half of this story is, so there is this petition to the federal government to have Justin Bieber deported.
Yeah, I know. I signed it 3 times.
Yeah, good for you. I think I'm actively campaigning on behalf
Mayor
of
Mayor Daley of Chicago had me and a bunch of my friends fake sign it.
Well, apparently, according to the We the People clause, if you have 100,000 signatures and you submit it to the president, the president's office has to take some action.
That seems unduly low for 2014.
Yeah, well, and I have a feeling they're gonna revisit that number.
I mean, Katy Perry has 48 million followers. If she just told on a tweet, "Hey, I want to get Kevin Israel deported," you'd be on the next plane.
Yeah, well, if Katy Perry wants to mention me in any capacity, I'll take it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Hey, Katy Perry, will you please tweet at Comedians in Law to have Kevin deported?
If anybody listening to this knows Katy Perry,
can we have her tweet out? Actually, I kind of want to see. All right, if anybody here has anybody who's got like millions of followers, let's see if we can get them to tweet to deport one of the members of Comedians in Law.
Send Kevin Israel back to Israel.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Send Kevin Israel back to Israel campaign.
There we go. So the White House has to address this petition. And they actually asked the White House press secretary about it. And he had the only response you could have when asked that question at a White House press conference. He laughed hysterically.
Yeah. I mean,
but then he did acknowledge that, you know, they had reached the appropriate number of people. There's now over 200,000 signatures on this petition.
I mean, can you imagine the guy that has to go through these kind of petitions?
Oh, there's some unpaid intern getting stuck with this.
Yeah.
But it seems for the moment Justin Bieber is safe. He does have a visa that allows him to live in the country due to his extreme artistic contribution, apparently.
Extreme. Yeah, I would call it extreme. It's extremely annoying.
Yeah, it's extremely lame.
Yeah.
But
hey, listen, you know, I just – at the end of the day, I just want him to have a brutal comeuppance in prison.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I want somebody to be singing Baby while they're treating him like a baby.
Yeah. I think that's really the – unfortunately, I think that's the only way he's going to learn his lesson.
Yeah, but you know what? With the way life works out, he would go to prison and people would think he was awesome.
Yeah, he'd be playing, like singing for them every night, you think?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he'd be the cool guy.
He
and
turns
we would
into Johnny Cash all of a sudden.
Oh, jeez. Johnny Cash just rolled over in his grave.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, well, it looks for the time being, Biebs is safe. He's going to stay in America, but he does have some legal troubles down the road, and we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you, piece of whatever. Anyway, so that wraps up the stories for the week. Shall we move on to the interview? I'm interviewing Bob Howard right now. He's a really funny guy. And let's talk about his background and how he got into comedy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Comedians in Law podcast. We are live from Phoenix. I'm here with Matt Storrs.
How you guys doing?
And we have a very special guest. We're about to do comedy. He's also a lawyer out in the Phoenix area. Welcome to the podcast, Bob Howard.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How excited are you for this night?
Well, it's my first time here at Stand Up Live, so that's kind of fun. I haven't been on any of the big stages lately. Mostly doing the smaller clubs out in Scottsdale.
So, Bob, how did you get into comedy? That's always every lawyer who ends up doing comedy. Was there like a moment where you're just like, I need to get on stage. I hate my job.
No, it wasn't so much hating the job, but it was certainly looking for some alternative to the stresses that the clients love to bring you and lay on you every single day.
I can imagine that's pretty difficult.
Where was your first show?
Oh, gosh. I think it was in Scottsdale. I was in the TGI Fridays. I was at the Star Theater in Scottsdale, which has since closed, but it was...
I like the TGI Friday story better, though. I mean, that sounds like a more humble beginning.
Oh, yeah. No, it was humble. It was like I went from doing 5 minutes at the one show, and then they said, we need a feature for this. So suddenly I had to do 20 minutes. I'm writing material like crazy. I'm stealing from the internet. Well, we didn't have much internet back then. But the act expanded very quickly.
Yeah.
But it was fun for about a year and a half, and then TGI Fridays expanded and turned the room where they were doing the comedy into a...
I love how, like, you know, in a comedian's mind, like, dude, if you get 20 minutes at TGI Fridays, like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
If you tell that to your friends who are like, wait, so is your life in complete shambles?
Yeah, you're like, you went to TGI Fridays.
Why? I got paid, too.
In food or in...
No, like 50 bucks or something.
Oh, actually, my God.
Incredible, you know.
That's an incredible gig.
Like
a $50 pay.
Yeah,
just for those of you out there that don't understand the comedy landscape, getting paid $50 is a lot of money in the comedy space.
Oh, man.
Getting 20 minutes is a lot of time in the comedy space. And TGI Fridays is a pretty good crowd.
It's a pretty good,
fun-loving crowd. And so you're married?
Oh, yeah.
And does how does your wife feel about the whole comedy aspect?
She puts up with it. I can always test out my jokes on her, and if she doesn't laugh, they must be funny.
Ah, she's opposite comedy philosophies, huh?
Yeah, perfect. If she laughs at the joke, I probably won't use it.
Yeah, and do you have kids?
I have one son. He's a poker dealer in Ventura now. He used to be in Reno.
Poker dealer, huh? So does that mean he also plays on the side and hustles people?
Yeah.
I assume that poker dealer is like the way that you show income.
Yeah, they work off the tips.
Tips, yes.
It's pretty much tips.
It's like, hey, we need to open a laundromat to show a legitimate front.
Yes, will you sign off on saying you own this laundromat, please?
Yeah. So poker dealer Ventura, I gotta go up there and play.
Yeah, he's been there about 2 months now, but he'd been in Reno for about 5-6 years before that.
Yeah, I like that whole seedy underworld, card playing, rounders and stuff. How does he feel about your comedy career?
He blew through town about 2 years ago on a poker. He took a 3-week poker trip where he hit 8 or 9 casinos a day, traversed the entire United States, wrote an article about it in some poker blog or magazine actually, and it happened that the night he was here, I was doing a private gig for I think it was an investment company. They called it Wit and Wisdom. So they brought in a comedian to do the wit, and I did 20 minutes, and then the wisdom was some guru on the economy.
I like that. I think Comedians of Law is going to steal that entire concept.
That's a great concept.
It's pretty brilliant.
Oh, my concept is called Comics on the Grass. On the grass, not on grass.
There's a lot of those.
I think that's already been covered. That's pretty well-worn territory.
My stepson, for his engagement party, we threw a comedy show in the backyard on the grass with a bunch of my friends who were comedians and brought in 40 people. And we've repeated that like 5 or 6 times, just put a big comedy show on at the house.
Yeah, I like the old backyard comedy shows. Yeah. They got a bunch of those in LA. I mean, it's just like a different feel. Well, the problem with outdoor shows I've always found, and you guys can agree or disagree, is that the laughter really just disappears into the ether. You know, without an actual, you know, you need walls.
Yeah,
right. As a comic.
You need an enclosed patio.
Yeah, you need an enclosed patio. You need if you got an enclosed patio, you are doing well.
Yeah, right? you're doing well for yourself.
Hey, we're lawyers, right?
some of us are. I'm out, and you're still practicing.
Still practicing, yeah.
And you're family law.
Anti-family
law. Okay, so do you find a lot of material there?
Yeah, I do. That's where I started. Really, I did about 5 or 6 minutes on my first divorce and being a divorce attorney.
Your first divorce as a husband or as a lawyer? Okay.
As
how many have you had?
Only one.
Okay, I like
only
that you call
hopefully
it your first.
Hopefully never again. Yeah, a second marriage is doing fine. We're 22 years together.
Yeah, but I'm sure your wife now loves that you call it your first divorce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
Because I call, yeah, I mean, look, I call my girlfriend my future ex-wife. It's, yeah, it's all the same. You're recently engaged.
Yeah, I'm recently engaged, getting married in May. So wow. I do not refer to her as a future ex-wife.
Not yet. No, yeah. I mean, you're in that weird stage where, like, you're really committed.
Yeah, I have to support everything.
You're really all in right now.
Yeah. Table settings and all that, yeah.
Yeah, we've got the, like, three stages of life right here, you know, or four if you count where you were with your first marriage. That's that's the third stage, and that's the fourth. And so I always wondered about that. So you're a divorce lawyer, and you've been divorced. Do you use that as, like, a selling tool? Like, hey, I know what it's like.
Yeah, it's easy for me to identify with the clients who come in and tell me their wives were bipolar because I was there.
That's awesome. All right, cool. Well, I'm excited to see Bob crush it over here at Stand Up Live in Phoenix. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Thank you very much.
And I don't know, do you want to plug your practice or something, if there's anybody in the area?
Yeah, it's called Jekyll and Howard.
Jekyll and Howard. Check them out if you're going through a divorce, or if you're, you know, I don't know, you want a prenup or something like that, or whatever else.
Absolutely.
He does prenups if you're planning on cheating.
I'm going to try to sell that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you're logging on to Ashley Madison too often, Bob is your guy. So we will talk to you guys later. Yeah, he did great, man. I'm telling you, he did great. Yeah, Bob really did great on that show.
It's a funny guy, man.
Yeah. Should we jump onto the Twitter feed?
Yeah, let's take a look at what people are saying to us.
Oh, looks like we got some action this week.
We picked up a lot of followers.
Yeah, you want to give them some shout-outs?
Yeah, we got Katie Howells. We have Kathleen Cruz. We picked up the now maybe you'll be able to tell me this. Who the Phi Alpha Delta
that's
fraternity?
That's a legal fraternity. That's the big legal fraternities. All
we picked up
country.
A bunch of them.
Yeah,
we picked up the IU Phi Alpha Delta fraternity. We picked up the RWU. Phi Alpha Delta fraternity, that's Roger Williams University. What else do we got? I think we got a few more.
USD.
USC, yeah, that's
USD also.
And Shannon Dixon, a ton of new followers.
Yeah, well, we want to perform for these legal fraternities too. You know, we've been doing a lot of law school shows, but we haven't really done any pre-law either. They also have pre-law fraternities.
Wow, I did not know there were pre-law
colleges,
fraternities.
Colleges all have pre-law. So if you want us to come down, hit us up. You know, we'd love to do some colleges. I love doing college gigs.
Yes, if you want to see one of the strangest results with a law degree, have us come out to your pre-law event, yeah. And we'll tell you some stories.
I have to give a shout-out to Ruth Carter. She's one of our big super fans, and she came out to the show in Phoenix, and she tweeted at us and said we did a great job. So thank you so much, Ruth, for supporting us from Phoenix and bringing people out to see us.
That's what we like, our top fans, the president of the clubs.
Yeah. We also got Alexandra Payan, Res Ipsa Mama. I like that handle.
Res Ipsa Mama.
Yeah. Cameron Scott and Sharon Frankel. Looks like Gabriel Montemuro, Nina Rampala, Felice. Rachel Shute, Christopher James, and finally, national security lawyer. Uh-oh. I don't know if that's good or bad.
We're really expanding, man.
Yeah.
Every week, just picking up more and more.
Yeah, from the Philippines. And everybody should know, we also got the Combatant Gentleman, a suit company. Matt Storrs wore their suit on stage. Very nice suit. I should also give a shout-out to Koch & Koch, a legal court reporting company that sponsored our show last week. They handed out cups and magnetic calendars and stuff, and they were really cool, a court reporting company. So we have sponsors, which is always great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And we're definitely looking for more sponsors.
Yeah. So if you want to sponsor some of our live shows or our podcast, and, you know, thank you all, Only in Law School, all of our followers there who seem to be loving our memes lately.
Yeah, Only in Law School is our new branch. We're going to be revamping the website, so it's going to be something awesome for those suffering through law school to enjoy, and we'll be rolling that out shortly.
And what should we have people tweet at us about this week?
The one tweet is if you know somebody who has millions of followers, tweet at us, tweet at them and us to deport Kevin Israel.
Yeah, back to Israel. So Israel to Israel, it should be the hashtag.
There you go.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. Thanks again for listening, everybody.
All right, guys. Have a good week.